Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Our text this morning is found in verses 19 through 30. Acts chapter 11, beginning with verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We pray that you would use this portion of Scripture to instruct us and teach us in the way in which we should walk, that you might be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sharing the good news. There are many joys that we have in the Christian life. So many blessings that God bestows upon us, so many things that cause us to rejoice and to be glad. But I think one of the things that brings us the greatest joy is that of sharing the good news. As God gives us opportunity to share the gospel with another person, it brings a joy to our hearts. Even if the person doesn't believe, there's the joy of sharing the word. It's more exciting if they do respond. But even if they don't, there's a joy of sharing the word of God. And here in this portion of Scripture, we see how God used the early Christians to share the word of God, the good news of the gospel. Jesus had told his disciples, "You shall be my witnesses." And here we see an incidence of this occurring as the believers shared the word of God. And as we look at this portion, we want to note three things that are involved in the sharing of the good news of the gospel message. The first thing we note is in verses 19 through 21, sharing the good news involves, first of all, reaching the lost. Verses 19 through 21. In verse 19, we notice, first of all, that in reaching the lost, there needs to be motivation. And God gave them motivation. Verse 9 says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen." They were scattered abroad by persecution. Apparently, they were not eager to be scattered abroad, and so God helped them. And I think from time to time, God helps us also. As we get settled down and not scattered abroad, God finds ways to encourage us and to help us, to motivate us. And there needs to be constant motivation. And in this particular situation, God pushed them out because they were not of a mind to go. Sometimes God leads us out as He gives us unique opportunities, but God finds ways to motivate us. And we need that constant motivation. Just as in all other areas of our lives, we need constant motivation. In our Sunday school class of last quarter, as we finished the class on 1 Timothy and memorized the chapter, as the class finished, we all came to the conclusion that it was good motivation for us, and that probably not one of us there would have taken the time to memorize the entire chapter of 1 Timothy 4 had it not been for the motivation that we had received as a class. And probably Joel wouldn't have written his music for the whole chapter if there hadn't been that motivation to be able then to sing the whole chapter. And so we need that motivation. And so also now, as God has opened up other opportunities and we have the evangelism class, there's another area of motivation that we constantly need. In the 1 Timothy class, one of the verses that we studied was 1 Timothy 4:7, "Exercise thyself unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little, or for a short time," because our bodies ultimately are going to die, and so bodily exercise is not something that will have eternal benefits. The benefits are temporary. So when Paul says bodily exercise profiteth little, he's not saying it's not worth much, so don't bother. We're commanded to take care of our bodies. And bodily exercise is profitable and necessary, but it profiteth only for a little time in compared with eternity. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of the life that is to come. And so bodily exercise has promise of the life that now is. And you take care of your body with proper exercise, and it has promise for you for the life that now is. Nevertheless, it demands constant motivation. You know, you can start that exercise schedule and say, I'm going to do so many push-ups and so many sit-ups, and I'm going to do this every morning. And it lasts for a few weeks, and then something happens, and you stop, and before you know it, ooh, it's been 3 weeks now since I've done a sit-up. We have to be motivated all the time, constantly motivated for taking care of our bodies, giving our bodies the exercise that they need. And God tells us that there's a parallel there. We need constant motivation also then for spiritual exercise. And God tells us we are to exercise ourselves unto godliness. And that's why we have church. Paul says, you gather together. What for? The purpose is to exhort one another. And even more so as you see the day coming, the days of greater pressures coming. We need to get together to exhort one another. We need motivation. Our Sunday school classes for motivation. Our times of fellowship, motivation. We need that spiritual motivation for godliness, which is profitable not only for this life, but for the life that is to come. Constant motivation. And so also here in the area of reaching the lost. We need constant motivation. We need to be constantly encouraging one another. And God here encouraged the Jews by scattering them abroad. Now, sometimes we become discouraged. You know, when I tend to become discouraged, to me, the example of Noah is a tremendous blessing. Noah, for 120 years, bore witness to a godless generation. Praise God, he saw his family saved, but nobody else. Talk about something that would discourage you. And so, if you get discouraged, remember Noah. And he was faithful in sharing the good news for 120 years without any results. And so the scriptures tell us, in the morning sow your seed, and in the evening withhold not your hand, because you don't know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Sometimes we sow, sometimes we reap. But we are told not to be discouraged in sharing the good news. And many times what happens is we don't reap where we sow. And we get all excited. We say, I sowed the word. And the next day we want to go out and pull an apple off the tree. Many times we do not reap where we sowed. Many times we will reap where we didn't sow. And say, look at this, just dropped into my lap. And so we have to be careful about being discouraged about not reaping where we sow, because God tells us that many times we will reap where we won't sow, where we haven't sown. But we are to sow where we probably won't reap. And so there needs to be that constant motivation for reaching the lost. Secondly, not only motivation for reaching the lost, but the manner of reaching the lost. How do we do it? And notice in verse 19, we are told that these were scattered abroad preaching the word. We look at that and we say, oh, well, this is for preachers. They went preaching the word. And since I'm not a preacher, well, then that's not my job. But I'd like to encourage you that this word preaching in verse 19 is the very same word that we have in verse 20, where it says, they were come to Antioch, those that were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians. It's the common, ordinary word, Greek word, to speak, laleo. And so that means that in verse 19, they came up to Antioch speaking the word. There went that excuse. You're not a preacher, but you can speak the word. You can speak to somebody. And that's really what that word is. They weren't preaching. They were speaking. Now, preaching, speaking might also include preaching, but speaking does not have to be preaching. And so, the manner is to speak the word of God. You say, but look at further in verse 20, it says, they spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Sorry. You know what that word is? That's the Greek word we get our word evangelize from. And evangelize means to share good news. And so that's not preaching either. And so once you get your Strong's Concordance out and start looking at this, you find out all your excuses are gone, because they went to Antioch speaking the word. They spoke unto the Grecians, sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus. And that's something that we all are responsible for doing. For speaking the word of God, for sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus, for sharing the gospel. And so this is not just a matter of preaching from the pulpit, but here is a matter of sharing the good news, of speaking regarding Jesus Christ. And that's how it's done. And then thirdly, for reaching the lost, we have here the message in verse 20. They spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now, as you share, what do you share? Well, you share the Lord Jesus, or you share Jesus as Lord. Now, that's the crucial message, then, is that Jesus Christ is the Lord. The content, the basic content of what we share is that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, we have to cover his whole lordship here. Say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, how did he get to be Lord? How come he is Lord? See, you start from the beginning. First of all, he's Lord because he made us. He's the creator. And so he has the rightful ownership of us because he made us. So he's the creator. He made us. He is our rightful Lord, to whom we are responsible to submit. And since up to this point we have not submitted, then we are responsible to repent of the sin of not having submitted and then yield ourselves to Him as Lord and Savior. And so the message is Jesus Christ as Creator, Sustainer, Lord, Savior, Redeemer, and coming Judge. That's the message. Jesus Christ. His death on the cross, His resurrection, and the entire message then centers around Him. Now that means that as we present the gospel, we have to start out with the basis of His Lordship, that He is the Creator. Some people, in sharing the gospel, like to use the book of Romans, and they say, first of all, Romans 3:23, all have sinned, and then 6:23, that the wages of sin is death, and then the gift of God is eternal life, and then Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And they like to pick verses out of Romans, which is fine, if you get where you get your scriptures, as to how you want to present the gospel. But you know, if we're going to use Romans, don't start with Romans 3. Start with Romans 1. You see, that's where it all begins. Because you go back to Romans 1 and verses 18 and 19 and 20. 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. So if you're going to choose verses from Romans, start from Romans 1, where you have the fact that He is Creator, and the very existence of the universe reminds us that we are subject to Him, and that He is the Lord of the universe, and He is the Lord of all. Then our sin is failure to submit to this Lord. And so the message is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have Gospels of John that we give away with with the name and address of the church on. And it's very handy also to use the Gospel of John to present the good news. But if you do that and open up your Gospel of John, don't start with John 3:16. Don't even start with John 1:12. Get back and start with John 1:1. And go right to the beginning of things. And if you start with John 1:1, then you start with Jesus Christ from the very beginning. And you start with Him as God and as Creator. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's where you start. He is God, and He made all things. So if you want to use the Gospel of John to present the good news of salvation in Christ, that's fine, but start at the beginning with Him as Creator. He made all things. And then go into the light came, and the world rejected this light. He came unto his own received Him not. The sin of rejecting the Lordship of the Creator of all things. And then ultimately you can get to John 3:16. That's a good verse. That's fine if you want to get that far. You might be able to just finish up with John 1:12 and 13 about, and as you deal with the message of the new birth, and that we must be born of God. And so whatever you do, make sure that the message is Jesus Christ. But that the message of Jesus Christ starts way back there. Not just at the cross. The message of Jesus Christ starts back at the creation, because He is Lord due to His rights as Creator. And so that's the message. The message is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are to repent of our rebellion and submit to Him as Lord, receive His forgiveness, and then enjoy His presence both here and for all of eternity. And then the fourth thing regarding the reaching of the lost is the verse 21. We see the power, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. If the hand of the Lord is not with us, then there is no power to the message. And so, praise God that Jesus told His disciples, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so the power of the sharing of the good news is that the Lord is with us, and that the hand of the Lord bears witness to His word. We can share the message, but God has to convict the heart. And so that's where prayer comes in. And we need to make sure that the battle is won in prayer before we go out to reap the fruits of the battle. Sometimes we get the idea that we go out to do the battle. Not really. We go out to reap the fruits of the battle that are won through prayer before we go out. And so we need to pray. And as we go out and share the good news, we don't need to increase our pressures on the people to whom we're speaking. We need to increase our prayers to God for His hand to be upon our ministry. And so the sharing of the gospel is, first of all, reaching the lost. Secondly, the sharing of the gospel is also teaching the saved, verses 22 to 26. And we see here that the church then in Jerusalem, hearing that God was working up there in Antioch, sent Barnabas. And Barnabas, when he got there, he saw what God was doing, and he encouraged the hearts of the people. And we read here that he exhorted them to cleave to the Lord, and that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. And this is important, this commitment, because if there is not a purpose of heart to cleave to the Lord, then there's not going to be any growth. Because you can't teach people who aren't around. We read that Barnabas, when he came here, he was a good man and he exhorted them. But they had to hear the exhortation. And so his exhortation was, cleave to the Lord. You hang on to the Lord. You with purpose of heart, give yourself to this, that which God has now revealed to you. And it's exciting when you see a person who has come to Christ, who is faithful in gathering together with the saints and learning the things of God and growing the things of God into the Word. This is so important. And Barnabas says to these believers up there, he said, cleave to the Lord with purpose of heart, because it's going to take real commitment if you're going to go on in the things of God. Some of us have sought in later years to add to our education. And every once in a while you'll hear of someone, well, I'm driving three times a week to Lansing. Or I'm driving two times a week down to Kalamazoo. Or I've got classes over at Grand Valley four nights a week. And, you know, this is rough. You know, the schedule is heavy. And what do you do that for then? Well, it's because I want to learn this. These are things I need to know. And so even though it's a heavy schedule and it really keeps my my nose to the grindstone and my schedule tight, it's worth it because of what I'm getting. And here Barnabas says to these new believers, he said, with purpose of heart, cleave to the Lord. In other words, if you're really going to grow in grace and go on with God, it's going to take some commitment and some sacrifice and some dedication. You're not going to just float on downstream to arrive at the destination that God has for you. It's paddling upstream. And so Barnabas is encouraging them here that unless they were willing to put themselves out, that they would not go on with God. And unless we are willing to really put ourselves out, we are not going to go on with God. We will not improve our Bible skills nor our service skills. We will not go on in the things of God. And we will be to the end of our days as one who never finished first grade, because we've never been willing to put ourselves out to go on with God. And so Barnabas says to them, these new believers, he exhorted them. He said, brethren, with purpose of heart, you're going to have to cleave unto the Lord if you're going to go any place for God. And so there was the, first of all, the teaching of the saved in the area of exhortation. And then secondly, the teaching of the saved in the area of instruction. And Barnabas went to find Saul because he wanted some help. He found him and he brought him back to Antioch. And we read that for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul taught the Word of God. For a whole year, the people gathered together and Barnabas and Saul taught them. What a concentrated one-year Bible course. And do you know what we see as a result of that? We don't know just how many years later, but chapter 13 in the first verse, we find that there were five there in the church at Antioch that were capable instructors and teachers and preachers of the Word of God. Five. Start out with two, Barnabas and Saul. Not too much later, there were five. And so the instruction that is necessary in order to multiply the ministry. And this is so important because a multiple ministry is so healthy for a church. To be able to have the advantage of several gifts. We all have differing gifts. In some areas we're strong, in some areas we're weak. And a multiple ministry is so advantageous because the areas wherein one might be weak, another might be strong. And so it brings strength to the whole congregation. And here in the church of Antioch, start out with two. Barnabas, as he began, said, I'm not going to be the only one to teach here because I want a broader ministry. I want the people here to have a broader instruction. And so he went to get Saul and the two of them. Finally, they had five of them. Ideal, I guess it would be seven of them if you had all the seven gifts, motivational gifts to be able to see things from all viewpoints and to be able to have a full protection of the Word of God. And so there was instruction. And this is very, very important. This is a healthy thing for a church to have this kind of concentrated instruction and then a multiplicity of ministry. And we read that that here in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. This is the first place where that term was used. Isn't that interesting? After this heavy concentration of instruction in the Word of God and the producing of additional leaders for the work of God, apparently the impact on the community was great. They didn't call themselves Christians. The community began to call these people Christians, because they began to see here is a group of very unique people. When we talk about these people, how are we going to distinguish them? How are we going to refer to this very unique group of people that has sprung up amongst us? And they chose the word Christians. And they were labeled according to what was the centrality of their life, Jesus Christ, the center of their lives. And so the great benefit of the instruction, concentrated instruction that was given to the believers there in Antioch. And so sharing the gospel involves reaching the lost. It also involves teaching the saved. And then thirdly, we see it involves sharing our lives, verses 27 to 30, where we see that there was a great dearth throughout all the land, and the disciples then in Antioch determined that they were going to send relief to the brethren which dwelt in Judea. And so there was a sharing of their goods. A famine that came up in the land gave opportunity then to be able to share their goods. And I imagine this was a special joy to those in Antioch to be able to share with those in Jerusalem from whence the message had come. And as they thought, those brethren down in Jerusalem are in need. We have the gospel because they came up here. We won't say that they had to come up here, but they came. They came up here and shared the gospel, and we have the gospel through them. And they're in need. What a joy to be able to then share with them. And sometimes God allows some to go through need in order that others might be able to share. And this is what happened, and it was a real joy for them to do that. And so they shared of their goods. But not only of their goods, they also shared workers, because who took the offering down? Barnabas and Saul. They shared of their workers as well. You see, there were five of them there now that were effectively teaching the Word of God, preaching the things of God. And so they said, oh, we can spare Barnabas and Saul for a while. You know, let them go down to Jerusalem, take this offering down there. And we still have three others here that are preaching the Word and carrying on the teaching ministry. So it's exciting where you have the sufficiency in the group to be able to not only share materially, but share workers with others. And so they did that. They shared workers. Barnabas and Saul had faithfully taught the Word of God to the place where they were expendable. You know, they could go for a while, and it didn't really matter. And they knew that the teaching of the Word of God would continue on. I know a few weeks ago I didn't really enjoy being sick, but I did enjoy seeing what God did, and praise God for the good job that Tim and Jeff did that Sunday I wasn't able to be here. That was thrilling. It's almost worth being sick just to see God use them to minister to our hearts in that way. And so also here this new church at Antioch is used of God to bless the church at Jerusalem. They were able to share in this way. And although there was a joy, I'm sure, of receiving financial help, there was also a joy of seeing that the work there had been blessed of God and was taught of God and able to carry on its own ministry. And so the joy of the sharing of the gospel. And we praise God for the privilege that we have today. But we find it's the same situation. Just as they needed to be scattered abroad, so also we need to be scattered abroad. Every now and then, God has to remind us and encourage us and exhort us to be scattered abroad and to take the gospel message and to share the Word of God, to make known the Word of God. And so we praise God for the opportunities that He brings, and that's our constant prayer, that God would bring new opportunities over and above daily as we share the Word of God using the Gospels of John. And I've been excited to see the Gospels of John going down. And so I brought another batch of Gospels, and there are more out there. If you think I'm going to run out, you're wrong, because I've got more home. And so it's a joy to see those go down. And it reminds me that you are being faithful in sharing the Word of God day by day. And we need to constantly ask God to motivate us and to encourage us to be faithful in sowing the seed of the Word of God. Sometimes we'll reap right away. Sometimes we won't. Sometimes we'll reap where we haven't sown. But God says, I want you to share my word and to give out my word. And so day by day, as individuals and then as a church, asking God to give us new ways in which to share the word of God and to make his word known and take it from Jerusalem to Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Father, we thank you this morning that someone brought us the gospel, and we praise you for this. And we recognize that we need constant motivation, in spite of the fact that it's the thing that gives us perhaps more joy than anything else, sharing the Word of God. Still, we need constant motivation. And so we praise you that you're faithful, just as these believers were scattered abroad by persecution. So you are faithful, and we praise you for this. And we do pray that during this week, you would, by your grace, enable us to be faithful in sharing the Word of God, in making known the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, who is the Lord, because He made us, and He deserves our obedience, and that lack of submission to Him is sin. We praise You that through His death on the cross, through repentance and faith, we can know forgiveness and receive eternal life. We praise You for the gospel message. Pray that You would enable us this week to make it clear as You give us opportunities. We pray as a church You would continue to open up opportunities. We pray regarding the fair that You would make that an exciting time, that You would open up other ways in which we as a church can make known the Word of God, that men and women, boys and girls, might hear the message of Scripture and come to know the Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.